rules. I apologize for this room, but since the Senate President's office didn't schedule us any time, we are limited to only those rooms that are available. That's actually Brian Shipley of the Senate President's office didn't schedule us any time on the schedule. So thank you, Brian. We'll do the best we can with what we've been given to work with. Thank you, Mr. President, for joining us today. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 560. We have a pretty limited agenda. I would like Mr. Schiltz from MLAC to come forward and Kelly Bach of the firefighters to come forward. No, Kelly, I'm not seeing Kelly. Oh, I see him. Okay. And then next up, we'll have Mr. Winkles, Ms. McNamara, Ms. Squires, and Mr. Goodman. Probably not all at once. Hi, thank you, and welcome. And before you get going, I'm going to have Ms. Taylor tell us what we have.
Madam Chair and Mr. President, Senate Bill 560 adds several types of transfers to the existing firefighter presumption for employment-caused occupational diseases for workers' compensation. Before you, you have the Dash 12 Amendment, which defines seven cancers to be defined as the occupational diseases under these certain circumstances.
Thank you. Mr. Schiltz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is John Schiltz. I'm the administrator of the Workers' Compensation Division, which is part of the Department of Consumer and Business Services and provides staff services to the Management Labor Advisory Committee. And I'm here today to provide information on Senate Bill 560. Current workers' compensation law establishes a presumption for certain occupational diseases for firefighters. Currently, including diseases of the lungs, respiratory tract, hypertension or cardiovascular or renal disease. In order to qualify for the presumption, the firefighter must have completed five or more years of work as a firefighter and have also taken a physical examination upon employment. If the firefighter qualifies, the presumption means that if the firefighter contracts a disease in those systems listed that I listed earlier, the condition then is presumed to be work-related. In order to deny such a claim, the employer or the insurer must prove, based on clear and convincing evidence, that the disease is not work-related. Senate Bill 560 adds specific types of cancer to the existing presumption. This presumption in the original bill also would then apply to a city that uses an opt-out statute under ORS 656027 to provide its own disability system for police and firefighters, and that currently would only apply to the city of Portland in Oregon. The Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee spent a significant amount of time reviewing this bill and working on it. And the Management Labor Advisory Committee voted to support the Dash 2 amendments of SB 560. And what those amendments basically do is limit additions to the firefighters' employment-related presumptions to the following seven types of cancer: brain cancer, colon cancer, stomach cancer, testicular cancer, prostate cancer, multiple myeloma, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. The Dash 2 amendments also limited the presumption for the seven conditions to paid firefighters only. The Management Labor Advisory Committee did not take any positions on those portions of that bill or the Dash 2 that applied to the city of Portland because it's not a statewide workers' compensation system issue. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that I can about the bill.
Thank you. And Mr. Schiltz, just to clarify for the record, the amendments that MLAC supported limited the additions to the firefighters' employment-related presumption to seven types of cancer and to only apply to paid firefighters. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions for Mr. Schiltz? Senator Farioli. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll defer to Senator Montes Anderson.
Senator Montes Anderson.
When you talk about paid, there are a lot of volunteers that get some kind of stipend. So wouldn't that pretty much cover those volunteers that would get some kind of stipend the way this is worded?
Madam Chair, Senator Montes Anderson, the recommendation that the Management Labor Advisory Committee made was that volunteer firefighters would not be included in their recommendation. What that means in workers' compensation, though, is maybe not quite as straightforward as sometimes it would first appear. Volunteer firefighters, if they're working for an employer who opts to provide coverage for their volunteers, in other words, makes their volunteers subject workers under the law, then those volunteers would be eligible as subject workers for workers' compensation benefits. However, the part of this presumption, the recommendation is to only apply this presumption to paid firefighters. Now, I think you were getting at something possibly in between that. Individuals who may get some sort of level of compensation from their employer, a stipend or something other than just being purely a volunteer, no remuneration versus an individual who's a paid firefighter. And my understanding is that the Management Labor Advisory Committee was recommending that this presumption would only apply to those who are paid employees. The others would be subject to other workers' compensation statutes if their employer opted to make them subject workers.
And just follow up.
But as I read the Dash 12 amendments, as I read those on line 6, when it says paid firefighters, and if a firefighter is a volunteer and is paid something, that means anyone who was paid.
Senator Montes-Anderson, we might want to bring up the drafter of the bill on that question. So why don't you hold that question, and we'll bring up the drafter.
Yeah. Awesome.
Senator Farrioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Oregon Department of Forestry employs lots of paid firefighters. Would those folks be covered by the bill?
Madam Chair, Senator Farrioli, under my understanding, yes.
Madam Chairman, that would mean a fiscal impact for the state of Oregon.
I'm the Madam Chair, not the Chairman. But Senator Farrioli, that's correct. And if there is a fiscal on the bill, I believe the Senate President has been extremely consistent, despite my protestations. And when bills have a fiscal, they go to Ways and Means. We don't have the fiscal back yet.
Okay. I think that would be a valuable piece of information to have.
Further questions?
Possibly later, Madam Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Bach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Kelly Bach. I'm the President of the Oregon State Firefighters Council. I'll just give you a few quick points that we feel were important in the lengthy testimony that we gave in the Senate Commerce Committee. We had several firefighters testify, myself, workers' comp attorneys, doctors, and people from the International Association of Firefighters. And one of the doctors that came out and testified was Dr. T. Gudati of George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and a pretty renowned doctor in this field of studying firefighters and cancer. But prior to that, we feel we vetted this bill pretty thoroughly in the MLAC process, and were able to get it through that Management Labor Advisory Committee with a unanimous decision, narrowing our bill down just to the 7 specific cancers. Initially, we were proposing many more that we feel the scientific evidence backs up, but we felt to allay some of the employer concerns and some of the unknowns with the bill. They limited to just those 7 specific cancers. Secondly, this is one of the most studied workers' illnesses probably in the nation out of all workers, except maybe asbestos in some workers. But it's been studied thoroughly, we feel. 23 states already have some type of workers' or firefighter presumption covered. They're a little different, just like every state's different. But many or most cover more cancers than we are proposing currently. With our 7, some cover all cancers, and many cover many more cancers. In addition to that, there's 7 other states that are proposing cancer presumption that's in various stages of their legislative bodies. And talking about the scientific evidence, there's been a lot of weight given to the LeMaster study and limiting it to 3 or 4 cancers. And one of the things that it says in the study, in the table, it says table 5, 10 cancers or half were significantly associated with firefighting. And so we even feel limiting our 7 is is much lower than one of the most stringent studies have shown. And then also that study further says, and these general population comparisons that were used in the studies raise concern that the actual risk of cancer may be underestimated due to the healthy worker effect related to the strict physical entry requirements and maintenance of a better physical fitness. And then it also goes on to say that these findings of an association of firefighting with a significant increased risk of specific types of cancer raise red flags, and then they go on to talk about further protective equipment, which we also support, but that's not what we're looking at right here. Then also another important piece to remember on this presumption, it's a rebuttable presumption, which means that the employer can challenge. It's not deemed, like in Nevada, it's deemed the firefighter gets certain cancers, they get covered. In Oregon, it's a rebuttable presumption. And using that same rebuttable presumption criteria over the last 12 years with our heart and lung presumption, the employees have only won 23% of heart cases and 38.9% of respiratory system cases and no circulatory system cases. So I see looking at that shows that the employer groups and the insurance companies are able to use the rebuttable presumption to beat these claims in certain instances. And then we also have a cost estimate that I'm sure you have gotten from the NCCI, and so I don't know if I need to go over that at all. It only shows a 5 to 30% increase in costs with this bill, which that may sound like a big cost to the employer group, but if you took a 15% cost, that would only be equivalent to $6 to $8 a month per firefighter. Increase in your workers' compensation rates. That's using my employer, their numbers.
Mr. Bach, it might be helpful if you have a copy of that to provide to committee staff. She can make copies and we can have everyone. Great.
John has
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions for Mr. Bach?
Yes. Madam Chair,
Senator Monson,
I'd like to know about this presumption and the employer is having to prove. To me, it seems extremely difficult. If you're a smoker, your odds of having cancer just skyrocket. And I was just wondering, first of all, how many firefighters smoke, do you think? And then if a smoking firefighter gets cancer, then it would be up to the employer to prove that the employee got his cancer from smoking rather than, and to me, I just don't see how you can do that.
Well, they have been winning the cases, and that's one of the ways they win those. I don't know how many firefighters smoke in Oregon. I know where I work, where there's 300 firefighters, not many smoke. I'm sure back in the 70s, like a lot of the population, more did, but not many smoke now, hardly at all. And all new hires cannot smoke at work. So I don't know of many that are currently smoking. But then practically what we also do is, as a local union representative, if someone came to us that was a smoker, we would, that's why I feel these numbers would even be lower. We won't even take the claim forward in most instances because they won't win. And that's been shown throughout the years, so we don't waste their time when they're fighting a terrible disease, or the union's time, or the ALJ's time, or anybody's time on most cases. I'm not going to say that every case that happens. And then how they're overcoming the presumption, they just bring up that they've smoked under oath, and then in most cases they're denied due to the smoking.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Sir Farrelly,
thank you, Madam Chair. You mentioned this is only going to raise the cost to $7, $8 per employee. Do you have the data supporting that?
What we did just hand out is the NCCI estimates.
Yes.
And as I stated, I took my employer's workers' comp rates, increased them by 15%, just took the middle number, and that was equivalent to, I think, $750 or so per firefighter per month, right, a 15% increase on workers' comp rates.
Okay.
I don't have that written out. I have it just in the little fact sheet I handed out, but I don't have the whole budget for my employer, but those numbers are from them.
And Madam Chair.
Farrelly.
And I got it right that time, Madam Chair.
You did good, Senator Farrelly.
To the previous speaker, we often employ National Guardsmen on the fire lines, and they are paid by the state of Oregon. Would they also be covered?
Madam Chair, Senator Farioli, they would be covered in as much as they would meet the criteria or the requirements of the presumption, which would require that they have been a firefighter for 5 or more years and that they also have an examination at the time of their employment as a firefighter.
Madam Chair, we also employ inmates from the state prison system. And I'm almost willing to bet you we could find inmates that have worked in those fire crews for 5 consecutive years.
So
I'm wondering if they also would be covered.
Madam Chair, Senator Farioli, again, if they met those criteria and were paid, then the presumption would apply. If they're unpaid, it would not.
Yeah, I'm sure they are, in fact, paid for their work.
Thank you, Senator Farioli.
So I'm just trying to establish for the record. I think we're looking at a universe larger than possibly the professional firefighter, the core of professional firefighter. I think we're also looking at Department of Forestry, National Guard, and possibly inmates in the state system. And there could be others.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions? Thank you very much. Mr. Cheek, why don't you come on up so we can get a little clarity here, and then we can send you on your merry way. Thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. And
for the record, my name is Charlie Cheek. I'm a senior deputy legislative counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Cheek. I just want to clarify for the record that there is not an exemption from this presumption in the -12 amendments of the bill for the City of Portland.
No, Chair Brown, there is not. If you look at the bill itself, you can see on page 2 in lines at line 25 where it says, notwithstanding the election where related to the cities that have these independent programs, that a city not covered by this chapter must apply the presumptions under this section. And this is section one of the bill where this presumption is being added. So the presumptions would be applied to the City of Portland as well.
Thank you. And my next question is whether the bill only applies to paid firefighters.
As based on the -12 amendments, the language says is impairment of health of paid firefighters. And so in answer to that question, I'd say yes.
And then my last question, and maybe this goes to the definition of firefighter, and I don't know if there's a definition in the ORS, and would inmates who are employed by Department of Corrections be considered paid firefighters?
I think I'd have to check, because that question is kind of coming at me from out in left field and wasn't prepared for it, but I think that the inmates are covered under Chapter 657, which is the Inmate Injury Fund. And if they're working as firefighters, their claims would be processed under Chapter 657, which is similar to but not exactly the same as Chapter 656, the workers' compensation statutes.
Thank you, and we'll take that with the fact that you didn't have any advance notice. Other questions from the committee? Senator Miles Anderson.
I'd like, again, I know you don't want to discuss the -12s, but I'm going to know if a volunteer who's paid a stipend, no matter how small, would be considered paid if this was taken litigated.
Chair Brown, Senator Morris Anderson, my understanding of the word paid means compensated for services rendered. And I'm not sure that a stipend qualifies as pay under that definition, that understanding of the word paid. Just like I wouldn't say that if a volunteer firefighter was reimbursed for mileage expenses or other equipment expenses that they might have as serving as a volunteer firefighter, that was being paid to be a firefighter.
Okay, thank you. I think that should be clarified.
Any other questions?
No, Madam Chair. I just I hope folks understand it's not a niggling point here. It's about half the firefighters in the state of Oregon are volunteers, and a lot of the jurisdictions that we depend on for fire protection have a paid person, that would be the chief, maybe a deputy chief, and that there is consideration that's given to these firefighters in the form of training transportation allowances, modifications to their vehicles for getting to fires or getting to the fire hall, turnout gear, and particularly they are trained not only for wildland urban interface fires, but sometimes for structural fires, and they are definitely on a career ladder. So I think the whole question of the definition of compensation and remuneration will, you know, needs to be argued out to the point of clarity, because if these folks are covered, many of those jurisdictions exist on a shoestring, and even a 15% increase in cost, which I find utterly incredible, I think it'll be much more, would make a difference between viability for these volunteer institutions and the withdrawal of services from communities. So it is a big deal.
No, I'm not saying it's not, Mr. Senator Farrielli. I think he was pretty clear that stipends or reimbursement for expenses are pretty clearly not within the definition of paid. If we need to define paid, we can certainly do that. If that really alleviates everyone's concerns, I'm more than happy to do that.
And I think, Madam Chair, there's a whole lot more than just reimbursement that may be involved in compensating volunteer firefighters.
I think we're talking about payment as wages. So thank you, Mr. Cheek. Appreciate your information today. Let's bring up Mr. Winkles and is it Ms. McNamara? Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I am Scott Winkles, representing the League of Oregon Cities. The League is opposed to the bill as written and opposed to the changes recommended by the Management Labor Advisory Committee. Our opposition to this legislation is not the result of a lack of concern for our firefighters that protect our cities. These are highly valued public servants, and we take our obligations to them seriously. Under existing law, a firefighter that develops cancer or any illness for that matter that is proven to be job-related is eligible for workers' compensation. The burden on the claimant is far from insurmountable. The League would contend that the current law provides sufficient recourse to claimants and protection for public employers. Changes to the current system should only be undertaken when there is sufficient scientific evidence to justify such an action. We would contend that the scientific rationale offered by supporters does not meet this threshold. The study offered by Senate Bill 560 proponents classifies a list of cancers into three categories, unlikely, possible, and probable. Of the seven cancers IMLEC recommends to be presumed to be work-related, only three are classified as proponents of the study as probable. The rest are only listed as possible. Additionally, despite reassurances of the contrary, the League contends that this legislation would grant cancer presumption to volunteer firefighters as well as full-time career firefighters. More often than not, when a city employs volunteer firefighters, those volunteer firefighters receive a small payment. It's usually referred to as turnout pay, and it's somewhere around $25 per call. We believe that this would grant any person that served 5 years as a volunteer firefighter a presumption that their cancer is work-related, even if they cannot demonstrate a carcinogenic exposure. This would more than double the number of firefighters subject to this legislation. I'd also like to call attention to the fiscal impact in other states when similar legislation was enacted. When California established a cancer presumption, it was declared an unfunded mandate, and the state was forced to cover the cost. Nevada experienced an increase in 526%, and New Hampshire 405%. There's no reason to believe that Oregon's experience would be any different. With that, I'm eager to answer your questions.
Thank you. Ms. McNamara.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Lynn McNamara. I work for City County Insurance Services, and we are a program of the League of Oregon Cities and Association of Oregon Counties. We were asked when this bill was in the Senate Commerce Committee to work on a fiscal for Senate Bill 560 because 79% of cities participate in our self-insured workers' comp program. At the time, the fiscal was for the Dash 4 amendments, but the same seven cancers are in the Dash 12 amendments, so we think there's relevance here. When we looked at the fiscal, we assumed that the bill was talking about regular career firefighters, and that's how paid was defined. However, we don't know what our reinsurers or our actuaries would, how they would read paid firefighters, but for purposes of fiscal, we assume that they were regular firefighters. So to figure out how many claims there might be and how much they might cost, we went and looked to our medical program, which is includes a number of city employees. It's insured by Regions Blue Cross Blue Shield. And they gave us the information on how many employees had had one of the seven cancers over a five-year period and how much that had cost on average per claim. So we were able to get an average number of cases per year and how much they might cost. We applied those averages to the firefighter population. LOC did a study of how many firefighters there were, so we had up-to-date numbers, and we applied that and came up with a total of 4.6 cases per year of Senate Bill 560 claims, total cost of $5.1 million, or an average cost of $1.1 million per claim. Now, the medical costs were less than that, but the rule of thumb is that a workers' comp claim is three times the cost of medical, and that's because workers' comp benefits include lifetime medical costs, wage replacement benefits, vocational rehabilitation, disability awards, and in some cases, survivor's benefits. So our actual ratio is a little bit higher than 3-1, but we thought it was a safe, conservative approach to take three times the medical. So that's how we came up with those costs. Those costs don't include a potentially increased cost of reinsurance. In the documentation that was provided on page 2, there is a quote from our reinsurance broker who suggests that not only are there not many reinsurance carriers who want to cover public entities with firefighters, but if you do have a reinsurer that will cover them and this bill would pass, the potential cost would double the cost of our reinsurance for the firefighting class. So that is a concern as well, and that's not included in the numbers that you have. So the conclusion that we reached was that the Senate Bill 560 was a potentially very expensive mandate with no offsetting new revenue to pay for it. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. It's my understanding, Ms. McNamara, that you were able to ascertain the number of firefighters who had one out of the seven cancers.
Madam Chair, not the number of firefighters, the number of employees, city employees, that are covered by our medical program. We don't have any individual data at all to know who's a firefighter or not. So it's just number of city employees.
Okay, thank you. Questions?
That was my question.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. That was my question, too. Maybe someone in the audience knows. I wanted to know the incidence of cancer in firefighters versus the incidence of cancer in the general population.
Madam Chair, I'm not prepared. Mm-hmm. I have no data to answer that.
Madam Chair, Senator Monis Anderson, I think that your question gets at one of the deficiencies in the data, and there's really no Oregon-specific data that's been presented in the course of this bill.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions, Senator Farrelly?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. McNamara, you produced, I believe, a document that was distributed to the committee. Could you go over the comparison table for the committee that appears on page 2?
Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, this data compared Oregon's NCCI rate of 2.86 with the rate, and I did not personally develop this data, but the rates in other states that have cancer presumption, and it looks at those states, in this case Nevada, Maryland, New Hampshire, and California, their pure rate, NCCI rate for that class, firefighters are a specific occupational class in workers' compensation. It then takes what our firefighter payroll would be in 2007-08 and applies that rate to that payroll to get a premium, then applies our 2.86 rate to that payroll to get the Oregon premium and looks at the difference in the cost. If you had a rate, for example, let's take the first one, of 1503 versus 286 and what the difference
in dollar amounts would be with those rates.
Senator Farrelly, follow up.
So that appears to be, could you go over the rate differences, please?
Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, they are what that those states have determined to be the rates that the firefighter class needs to be to raise the amount of money to support the claims in those areas.
Madam Chair, there's a huge difference between 15% and an average of 384%.
Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, CIS, our organization, and special districts don't participate in NCCI, so I don't know how NCCI developed that 15% number. It wasn't including the public entities that participate in our programs.
Well, Madam Chair, I think we need a mechanism to reconcile two authoritative presentations that are credible. You know, one that says the rate increase may be as little as 15%, and another that says the rate increase could be as much on average as 384%. It's a pretty big difference. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Next up, Ms. Squires and Mr. Goodman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, Hasina Squires here today on behalf of the Special Districts Association of Oregon. Our association consists of approximately 900 special service districts who provide services throughout the state. We also have 200 of that 900, 275 members are rural fire protection districts. I'm also here today on behalf of the Oregon Fire District Directors Association, which is an association that represents elected officials of rural fire protection districts. Typically, an RFPD will have a board of five elected officials, and that association is also one that I represent today. What's being distributed to you are 27 letters from different individual fire districts. Actually, one of them is a city of Newburgh, but different rural fire protection districts: Kaiser Fire District, Neatarts, Oceanside, Sweet Home, Amity, Hauser, Manzanita, and Halem, Woodburn, Turner, Tillamook, Coquille, Sublimity, Almsville, Clatskanie, Sheridan, Boardman, Mohawk Valley, Mill City, North Bay, Charleston, Silverton, Colton, Goshen, Halsey Shed, Gates, and Staten. All opposing Senate Bill 560. Some of those letters indicate their opposition for different reasons, but they're all opposed to any version of Senate Bill 560 in some form or fashion. Each one of you have been visited by one of our representatives to receive this fabulous binder of testimony, and so I didn't bring copies for you again. I'm sure it's collecting dust nicely on your shelves, but I will enter it into the record so the committee administrator has it. I want to be very clear about our testimony and what we believe this bill does or does not do. Our association believes that the bill, if it were adopted with the Dash 12 amendments, would apply to volunteer firefighters, and Mr. Goodman will address those issues. I want to also make just a brief clarification for the record about the number of firefighters that are in the state of Oregon. According to the Office of the State Fire Marshal, there are 7,666 firefighters in the state, and of those, only 41% of them are career firefighters. So that is 3,172 firefighters that are career-paid firefighters. The remaining 59%, 4,494, are volunteer firefighters. In our testimony that we have submitted to you on page 3 is some information regarding the fiscal impact, and I do want to highlight for those fire districts 353%. We're projecting a 353% rate increase for our rural fire protection districts. We estimate to be approximately 3 claims per year. Each claim costs $1 million in claim reserve. The bill has no protections for a starting date, meaning that it would apply to a firefighter who currently has cancer. There's no effective date as to whether or not, if you contracted cancer on or after the effective date of the act, whether or not the provisions of the presumption would apply.
Ms. Squires, I'm going to stop you right here in terms of the volunteer issue, and I want to put this to rest. You just heard Mr. Cheek's testimony of his definition of paid firefighters. Is there any question in your mind that the bill covers volunteer firefighters?
with Madam Chair, members of the committee, with the dash 12 amendments?
Correct.
Yes, I believe it still covers paid firefighters or volunteer firefighters.
You
yes.
think it still covers volunteer firefighters? Will you get us some language to make sure that it does not cover volunteer firefighters?
Absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to raise, I have three letters in front of me in the packet. I just looked at them very quickly. I just want to say a couple of things. I don't know what information folks received, but from the Hauser Rural Fire Protection District, it says it's small, all volunteer departments, and will be deeply impacted if Senate Bill 560 passes. I don't know if they were told that it covers volunteer, but you might want to let them know that that certainly was not the intent. The other interesting thing I received from the Manzanita Department of Public Safety, from Public Safety Chief Perry Sherbaugh, third paragraph, the bill excludes volunteers. The vast majority of firefighters in Oregon are volunteers. The last sentence reads, the assumption that volunteer firefighters are at less risk because they are volunteers is blatant discrimination and lacks common sense. And then from the Woodburn Fire District, Kevin Hendricks, I feel Senate Bill 560 needs to include all firefighters in Oregon and not just career personnel. Most communities must rely on volunteer personnel to provide fire and EMS to their citizens. This volunteer force makes up 75% of the total serving as firefighters. Senate Bill 560 does not go far enough. I urge the committee to look at the ways to provide service for all fire service personnel. So I don't know what information they were giving, but we have clearly three letters who are concerned about discrimination against volunteers, who feel that the bill doesn't go far enough, and are concerned that it does deal with address volunteers. So please get us some language.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the information that was distributed to generate those letters was early when the bill was printed, Senate Bill 560. There's a large amount of fire districts that would like to see volunteers included in the bill, and I think it's a policy consideration for the legislature whether or not we exclude volunteers who may or may not, in some cases in rural areas, they're running into burning buildings just as much as a paid firefighter in a rural area. So that is a significant consideration, I think, and it may be construed by some as discriminatory because they are not going to be included in the bill. So some fire districts don't support the bill because it doesn't include volunteers. Some fire districts don't support it because it does because of the cost. Some fire districts don't support it because they don't think the science is there. So there are a number of differing opinions. Madam Chair, if you'll just allow me to read into the record what the suggested language would be for excluding volunteers expressly. We would suggest language that says the presumption for the conditions described in paragraph B of this subsection applies only to non-volunteer, full-time, fully compensated firefighters who receive a federal income tax wage withholding form from the fire departments or the districts that employ the firefighters. The presumption does not apply to volunteer firefighters, and even if they qualify as workers under ORS 656-005 sub 30, or if election coverage has been made for the volunteer firefighters under ORS 656-031. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Goodman.
Thank you.
Good afternoon or evening, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is George Goodman. I represent Special Districts Association of Oregon and have been assisting in providing some legal input on the issues you've been discussing. What Ms. Squires just read to you is in the Dash 11 amendment that was submitted by Special Districts Association, so the reference to sub B in the first line, I'm not sure how that relates back to the Dash 12 amendment. That's the only thing I would point out to the committee to make that actually make sense in the record. The other things,
Mr.
however,
Goodman,
yes, ma'am.
You heard Mr. Cheek testify. He's our legislative counsel, the lawyers we rely on to draft bills. Are you saying you disagree with his interpretation of the language that he wrote?
With all due respect to Mr. Cheek, who I do have the greatest respect for, yes, I am.
Okay, thank you.
And I have a memo that was submitted that cites to the case law. The problem with the word paid is that the Court of Appeals has been for years interpreting that concept in light of the statutory definition of remuneration. So there is a great deal of case law already out there on the subject, and I think you are just creating lawyer fodder if you do not clarify this in the bill.
which
Mr. Goodman, with all due respect, the last thing I want to do is create lawyer fodder. So
I would point out to you, and I will read this into the record as well, that our sister state of Washington, who has had a presumption for quite a while that's related to cancer, has some very interesting distinctions from the bill you are considering. Number one, they simply put cancer in their presumption. This is RCWA, which is the Revised Code of Washington annotated, 51.32.185, subsection 1. They just include cancer in their presumption. They don't limit it to 7 or anything else. But the trade-off that they have for cancers being included generically is, number one, they exclude smokers. Number two, they put a tail on the presumption after you've left employment of maximum of 5 years subsequent to employment. Number three, they actually created a rebuttable presumption, and notwithstanding anybody's testimony to the contrary, and again, with all due respect to those who might testify to the contrary, I submit to you that Oregon has a unique statute that creates a virtually irrebuttable presumption relative to conditions on which the science is unsettled. On conditions where it is settled, fine. But you essentially have a beyond a reasonable doubt standard in Oregon due to the use of the word unrelated. The burden is not to establish on the employer. Mr. Schultz said the burden is on the employer to establish a condition is not work-related. That's not exactly the statutory language. The statutory language is that the burden is on the employer to prove the condition is unrelated to work. And the reason that's important is that unrelated is a pure negative concept. You are requiring employers to prove a negative, and by clear and convincing evidence. And so long as there is the slightest variance in the medical science on the subject, there is no way to rebut the presumption. State of Washington includes all cancers in their presumption. They exclude the smokers, they put the tail on it, but they also say that the presumption may be rebutted by a preponderance of the evidence. And that puts the courts right back where the courts ought to be, weighing evidence on a case-by-case basis to see, under the given facts, where compensability may actually lie, given that you've switched the burden of proof to the employer. And what they're doing is the preponderance of evidence standard in Washington is on a material cause basis. Is the work a material cause of the cancer? If the employer can prove by preponderance of the evidence, under the facts of a given case, that it's not, then you've rebutted the presumption. As to Mr. Bach's testimony about the LeMasters study, if the science was as clear as Mr. Bach and people like him would submit, why do you need a presumption? You'd win just on a straight compensability argument every time. You should win. And the fact that there's so much of a push for this presumption is evidence of only one thing, and that is that the science is not settled on this point. And I would submit to you, if you're going to create a presumption, rather than saying it's rebuttable under its current terminology, understand that it is not. Relative to the cancers listed in 560-12, it is an irrebuttable presumption because the science is simply unsettled. And if Washington can create definitions of paid firefighters that are comprehensive and put in appropriate balance to the system, I would submit to you that Oregon has a responsibility to at least attempt to do the same. As to the city of Portland, City of Portland definitely has to apply the presumption to its firefighters, but the City of Portland has absolutely been exempted from providing lifetime medical benefits to firefighters whose claims are found compensable. That is a massive difference in the exposure to the City of Portland for these claims versus everybody else in the state. The City of Portland's disability fund cuts off exposure for provision of benefits on compensable claims once a person retires. Well, you get cancer, and it's brain cancer, you're retired. You're retired as soon as you get it, until you have a complete cure, which is very unusual with brain tumors. But if you have any impairment at all, you're not going to be allowed to be a firefighter, going in and being a public safety officer. You're retired. As soon as you're retired, the liability under the public, or under the Portland system ends. And there are other triggers that terminated. So even though the presumption applies for the city of Portland now, the reality of it is by cutting off the lifetime medical benefits that, that every other employer of firefighters in Oregon is going to have to face, they are getting a tremendous benefit that no other employer in Oregon is getting. Why? Why should the biggest employer of professional firefighters in the state be opted out from the financial impact, which of course people are saying is de minimis? But if it's de minimis, why has the city gone to such trouble to opt itself out in this process? And our position is that there's a whole lot of things going on behind the scenes as to what the numbers really are. I can tell you SDAO, the state says that there are 6 cancer claims a year. Well, I've got 3 this year alone from SDAO. There's a big question as to whether self-insured employers are even reporting cancer claims of firefighters to the state of Oregon. But the average reserve on the cancer claims from SDAO is $1.1 million per claim.
SDAO, Madam Chair, is?
Special Districts Association of Oregon.
Thank you.
The client that Ms. Squires and I share, Senator Wanda Sanderson. So what you've got here is, as Senator Ferrioli said, tremendous amounts of disagreement over what the numbers actually show. But Special Districts Association recently sent out a letter to all of its volunteer fire districts. Basically, that letter said, we'll provide you insurance coverage until the first of the year. If Senate Bill 560 passes in a form that does not satisfy us that volunteers and others are reasonably being dealt with, or that the burden of proof has been reasonably dealt with so we can defend ourselves, we will aid you as of January 1, 2008 in finding other coverage, because we won't cover you. So having said all of this, I guess on behalf of my client, I would ask you to consider excluding smokers. I would ask you to take a look at the Washington statute. I would ask you to consider putting a tail on these things that make sense, and to cut out pre-existing conditions. At the MLAC meetings, which I attended, by the way, and saying that this is an MLAC-sponsored bill to me is oxymoronic, because I was at the first MLAC meeting wherein every employer member on that committee was prepared to drop the hammer and vote against Senate Bill 560. 2 weeks later, after who knows what pressure was put on various people behind the scenes, I was at the next meeting where it was unanimously passed out to the legislature to deal with. I don't know what happened in that 2 weeks, but saying that MLAC approved it is difficult for me to grasp in light of the first meeting versus the meeting 2 weeks later. In addition, Senator Ferrioli's questions about the inmate injury fund and the inmate coverage, I would point out that 656.041 allows any keeper of inmates, be it a city, a county, or others, to opt in to the work comp system for their inmates who are working outside of the facility. And in fact, just like covering your volunteers, many of my clients actually do that. They think it's the right thing to do. So when their volunteers go outside the facility to work, they are covered by 656. So even without researching Chapter 655, which is the Inmate Injury Fund, to see how this presumption might impact them, absent a comprehensive definition of what you intend by the word paid, such as we've suggested, I think there is a real risk of capturing all these other groups that Senator Ferrioli has identified, and that the cost of that to the state would be huge. Given all of this, we ask this committee to do what we've been asking people to do all along, which is understand that the LeMasters study, number one, only identified 3 cancers, not 7, 3, in which they said there was an associated increased risk probability between firefighting and those cancers. Only 3. The epidemiologist that we brought down to MLAC, which we think played a big role in the employer group saying we're not voting for this, very highly qualified, the only epidemiologist to testify, said he questioned the validity of even those findings, and he testified as to why at length. So we would ask you to take a step back and consider what the unintended consequences of the bill as written would be, to fix those, and to take a step back and actually consider the reasonableness of carving out the city of Portland, even of carving out the volunteers. I think there's something to be said as somebody who represents all these districts. Why is somebody who's being paid more deserving of coverage than someone who's doing it as a volunteer if they're encountering the same risk? In terms of right and wrong, I mean, this whole thing, I can see why the districts, some of them are very upset, because it smells like politics. It doesn't smell like right and wrong.
So Mr. Goodman, I'm a little troubled by your argument. You're saying the LeMaster study is not accurate, that firefighters don't have an increased risk of cancers, but then you're saying, on the other hand, that the costs of this bill are too high and we can't afford it. I'm a little troubled by that. You're saying that firefighters don't have an increased risk of cancer, or they do?
I'm saying that the epidemiologist's testimony, which I think is, as I said, in the record at MLAC, and I believe came down to Senate Commerce, very credibly explained why the LeMaster study's conclusion of a probability relative to three cancers was highly suspect. And all I'm saying is I don't think the science is clear on this point. I'm not saying it is or isn't established yet that there are increased risks of cancer for firefighters. I think it's unclear.
Okay, what I hear you saying is there is not clear scientific evidence regarding increased risk of cancer. And then on the other breath, you are telling me that you are concerned about this bill because the costs are too high. I assume the costs would only be high because firefighters are having these cancers. Am I wrong? I'm missing something. Am I wrong about that?
Everybody's having these cancers, Senator Brown, and firefighters are cost-shifting their cost from the group health side into the workers' comp side.
Okay.
And the incidence among firefighters, if there's three claims I have out of 4,000 firefighters that are covered in our group, that's not a very high incidence, but at $1.1 million per claim, those districts are basically out of business.
So it is your belief that firefighters' risk of cancer is no greater than the rest of the regular employment population?
I am not a scientist. It is my belief that the science is unsettled. Having a presumption from my perspective is fine. I think if you decide as a matter of public policy that you should provide this presumption, I think that's fine. But I don't think it should be irrebuttable. I'm suggesting to you that there's a reason why states like Washington have created the presumption the way they have. They've left it in the hands of the courts to decide case by case which cases are compensable. And let me give you one last example, and I very much appreciate the committee's patience. But let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. At the second MLAC meeting, I spoke to the attorney who represents the union. And I said to that attorney, are you telling me that a three-pack-a-day smoker from the age of 13 who works 5 years for a fire district in Oregon in his 20s and leaves and then gets prostate cancer in his 80s, but did have an exam, and by the way, the exam isn't just at the time of employment, it's any time subsequent to your employment, did have the exam we all have as men in his 40s where a doctor did what doctors do to look for prostate cancer, and then gets prostate cancer, which of course we're all going to get if we live long enough, in his 80s. And the doctors say that the type of prostate cancer or bladder cancer, another great example, which is highly associated with smoking, the doctors say it's 99% due to smoking, but I can't rule out the 1% because of the science just isn't there, that you want that to be covered under this bill? And he said, absolutely.
Last question for me, Mr. Goodman. You talk about the Washington model. I assume if we decided, which I'm not saying we're going to do, but if we decided to take the Washington model route, there would be no objection from your organization. Is that correct?
My advice to my organization would be that that is a reasonable option to take, but I am not my organization. I am just their lawyer.
Thank you. Other questions from the committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do.
Okay. Go ahead, Senator.
The cost discussions that we've had leave us with many orders of magnitude in difference. Have you formed an opinion of what the cost increases will be?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe in our testimony on page 3 or 4 that you've seen in your binder. We are estimating as an insurance, self-insured insurance pool that our rates will increase by 350%. To reiterate, that cost is based upon our assumption that there will be three cancer claims per year. and each cancer claim requires a claim reserve of $1 million. In order to spread out that liability, not onto our water districts, irrigation districts, and every other insured that we have, we will solely subsidize or fund that through rural fire protection districts, it would be necessary to raise rates 350%. I'd like to add one point on the issue of the NCCI data and just a little bit of background. Our association self-insured back in the 80s because we couldn't get anybody to pick us up. Safe wouldn't cover us. We couldn't afford it. Our districts were out there hanging by a thread and said, gosh, what can we do? Our association actually was formed on the basis of self-insurance for our membership, and that's how we sort of came into existence. Our rates were sky high, as you know, back in 1980, and we have done everything that we can to bring our rates down, and we've done a good job of doing that. Not everything has, you know, been due to our extraordinary efforts. Obviously, we've had a number of workers' comp reforms, and a lot of work has been done in the state of Oregon, and that is the reason we believe the NCCI rate for Oregon is 2.86, and why other rates are 15.03, 6.35, 11.59, because we've been responsible with what we've done in our state.
Well, Madam Chair,
thanks very much.
Even if we, through definition, sharpen the understanding and statute of the remunerative compensation, we're still looking, in your opinion, at a 300 plus percent increase in workers' comp for those districts that do have the paid professional firefighters, full-time, 5 years experience, paid professional firefighters. I think
that's what the data is establishing, that we have a special districts association, yes. Because the reserve is $1 million-plus per claim.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And just to follow up on that, I asked the city of Gresham to try to give me some rough estimates, and I was basing it on the 30% that came from the one study. And 30% would increase in claim costs for the city of Gresham. They have 102 firefighters, 58,300. I did some quick math if that is in the ballpark, and if it went to 384%, that means Gresham would costs would increase $746,240. So that's significant for the city of Gresham.
All right. Anybody else wishing to testify today? I'm going to close the work session. We'll bring this bill back on Friday. We're adjourned. Thanks, guys.